This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prizm, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Hour one on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Nice weather at Augusta, at least for today. The Masters underway. We'll keep an eye on the leaderboard there. Got some basketball to talk about, some interesting games last night, as we have a couple more days before the end of the regular season. And the Clippers delivered a statement win last night. They defeated the Lakers again. So right now they stay in the top six in the West standings. And the Lakers right now looking at a play-in position with two games left in the regular season. We'll talk about that coming up. By the way, in 2 hours from now, your opportunity to pick up some tailgate moonshine. We have at 11 a.m. Eastern. Go to danpatrick.com. First come, first serve. We have the new Azalea moonshine. And then I did ask some people who could help us with this, with the salted caramel and cinnamon apple, and our distributors able to do that. And so limited quantities there. You're able to go there, and while they last, it's Azalea Tailgate Moonshine, brand new, and it tastes great. It just happened to be on the same day that the Masters started. A tradition unlike any other. Moonshine. Tailgate Moonshine. All right, stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. They give us the stat of the day every day. Poll question, play of the day, and phone calls as well. That'll be coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. We have operator Tyler standing by. Chris Mad Dog Russo will join us coming up a little bit later on. The former Laker, now a Hall of Famer, Pau Gasol, will join us as well. Seton, you got a poll question?
Yeah, Dan, we got a bunch.
Okay.
You want to start with the Masters? You want to start with the Mavericks?
Ooh.
Let's start with the Mavericks. Who more to blame for the Mavericks' struggles? Mark Cuban, Jason Kidd, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving?
I'm going to start at the top with Mark Cuban. And by the way, we did reach out to see if Mark wanted to join us. I think he said thanks, but he's going to pass.
Yes, thank you. I'll pass. Very nice. Always gets back to us in a timely fashion.
Okay.
This is basketball if you come pass.
Thank you, Steve. I would start with the owner because he made the trade. Plus, you go back to Jalen Brunson, and I know Mark has said, hey, we wanted to re-sign him, but his parents got involved in this. Then he ends up with the Knicks. But, you know, when you talk about a guy who would be perfect for Luka, it's Jalen Brunson because he is a great leader, floor leader, and he's done a wonderful job with the Knicks here. Kyrie doesn't fit. It's kind of like, wow, this is great, but is it great? And they haven't meshed. And before you say, well, how many games they played together? What have they played, 18 games together? So almost a fourth of the season? That's a large enough sample size. And these are games that you have to win. Now, Kyrie played well last night, and the Mavericks are at least on the periphery of a play-in game. But, you know, you start to wonder the future of Jason Kidd. Mark Cuban has said that he'd like to bring Kyrie back. Okay. I don't know if Luka wants Kyrie back. It might be, yeah, that'd be great to have a running mate, you know, who's able to get you 40 a night. They're not a better team. They had a good team. Now, it wasn't a great team, but it was a good team. And you were in the fifth spot when you had those players. And then you trade away, you know, those players to get Kyrie Irving, who nobody wanted. And I think you're seeing that you do have two really good players, but they are really good scorers. They're not good defenders at all. And I wondered about that. Is it they can't play defense or they won't play defense? You don't know how to play defense? When you get to that point and you're that great, and then you got to play a little defense, does somebody help them play defense? Or do they just go, you know what, he can't play defense? I couldn't play defense, but I at least tried to play defense. Do these guys not even play defense? Like Sacramento Kings. Man, those guys can score, but they can't play defense. Why? I don't know. You know, it's your young, athletic, go out there and guard somebody. Not very good at defense. Okay. And that's why Sacramento is giveth and taketh away, because they can score and they can let you score as well. Yeah, Paulie.
I'm looking at the Mavericks coaching roster, and they have a lot of assistant coaches. They have a shooting coach, but they don't have a stop other teams from shooting coach. Maybe that's what they need.
I don't know if we could create that position in the NBA, but maybe we should.
They need it.
What's your job? My job is to stop the other team from scoring. Oh, okay. That's rare. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think that the Mavericks are in a position now? I don't know. I guess this situation really confused me, because Mark Cuban does not seem like make bad moves. I've always, you know, people questioned a long time ago when he let Nash go. But acquiring Kyrie Irving seems like a big, big gamble. And in a position now where, is 20 games enough to make a decision? And do you double down on your, quote, mistake?
That's what it feels like. It feels like, okay, got a bad hand and we paid for it. I'm going to try to bluff you again, and then we're going to triple down. I'm going all in. And then all of a sudden you're going, they called our bluff here. Who else wanted Kyrie Irving? And now you're going to sign him to a long-term contract there? Yes, Eden.
It's funny, like, we seem more comfortable with Mark Cuban making moves and trades than we do Jerry Jones. I mean, like, it's funny how owners sometimes, when they get involved, like if Robert Kraft was, you know, lobbying for a running back or something, we'd be like, what the hell is he doing? Let Bill Belichick do this stuff.
Oh, I don't want owners involved in it. I don't want Jerry Jones involved in it.
But the Mavericks have a GM, right, on the roster.
They do. They do, yeah.
The Cowboys do not, right?
No, it's Jerry Jones. Yes. Yeah. Jerry the owner, Jerry the GM. Mark has made some, the Mavs have made some good moves. I mean, you got Dirk Nowitzki for Tractor Trailer a long time ago, and you were able to trade for Luka with the Atlanta Hawks. I just didn't like, Kyrie Irving is wonderful to watch, but I wouldn't, A, want him as a teammate, and B, I don't want him on my team. He's fascinating to watch, but does he win? And I think, you know, I'd have to know that whole mindset of, what did he tell Mark Cuban? Because Mark Cuban's, I think, come out and said, hey, no, everything I'm hearing, you know, it's different. He's different than what people, he's a great guy. I'm sure he's all those things. If you were going to pay me $250 million, I would be able to convince you, man, I'm a good guy. I'd rather have a guy who's not a good guy, who's a great player. I got a good guy, man. What are we, J.J. Watt? We're just good-ass dudes out there, man. No, I need guys who can play. And that team is not interesting to me. Well, I should say they're interesting. I just don't think that they have the potential to be threatening. Yeah, Paul.
Didn't Charles Barkley say, Michael Jordan, he's a great player. Tiger Woods is a great player. No one's ever said, those are two great guys.
Yeah.
You know, they, one of the assistant coaches for the Mavericks is God Sham God. God can't get them to play defense.
Ooh, wow. The Lakers dropped into a tie with New Orleans. They're in front of them for the number seven seed because they won three of the four games between the Pelicans. Mavericks, meanwhile, with a big win, still on the outside looking in. You know, Oklahoma City wasn't trying to make the playoffs this year. They lost their number one pick, Chet Holmgren, before the season started. They're kind of hanging in there. Golden State needs to beat Portland on Sunday and defeat Sacramento to stay in front of the Lakers. The Lakers, they are trying to host a play-in game. They take on the Suns, and then they take on the Jazz. Phoenix is locked into the number four seed. But this might be a situation where if you're Phoenix, you want to put Lakers on the ropes there. And you also want to get Durant more reps, more playing time together with that group. And maybe he'll be playing a little bit more. You're already locked into the number four, but they might catch a break because they would be Friday, the second game in a back-to-back for the Suns, who play Denver on Thursday night. So maybe you don't get the best. And it was odd to see this, that you have a spirited performance overtime win against Utah, which made me nervous because everybody played well in that game and you went overtime with Utah and you got the win. So you come back home and this is a huge game, biggest game of the year for them. And you're facing the Clippers, who you haven't defeated in a long, long time. Clippers have won 11 in a row against the Lakers. And the first half, they look spent. Now, they did come back in the second half. That's the odd part. You would have thought that they would have a lot of energy in the first half, no energy in the second half if you're going to play the back-to-back and a overtime game. It was the opposite for them. But the Clippers got a win. Kawhi looked good. And here the Lakers are again. And, you know, if you didn't have to play back-to-back, then I'd say, wow, they're a great team. It's that damn back-to-back, you know. LeBron's old, AD fragile. But if you don't have him play back-to-back, then, you know, they can do some damage in the postseason. But I still like what, you know, the makeup of that team. Still like it a lot. But I think it's going to be tricky with the matchups here. Who they face, you know, play-in game, and then who do they meet after that? Yes, Paul?
I've got the matchups as of this morning. Golden State and the Clippers had the same record. But Golden State, for whatever tiebreak reason, is in the sixth spot. So right now, I think Golden State would like to stay in the sixth spot because then they get Sacramento instead of facing the Suns in round one.
Mm-hmm.
But Golden State, Sacramento, that should be a good time offensively.
Yes. Defense optional there.
Totally.
Draymond Green had something to say on his podcast where the commissioners come out and said you have to play at least 65 games if you're going to be eligible for honors with first team, second team, third team, or MVP or rookie of the year. Here's Draymond Green not agreeing with the commissioner.
65 minimum games for awards. I can appreciate this and everyone will appreciate this until you got bums on the All-NBA team and winning awards because someone didn't qualify because they missed 10 games at some point of a season. With an ankle injury. All of a sudden, you don't have any of those guys on all NBA teams. And then what NBA are we representing? When you look back in history and you got a bum on the all NBA second team or all NBA first team because guys miss some games, it won't be so appreciated then and everybody will be complaining now. And you know who else will be complaining? I think owners are going to end up complaining when they find a bum that they have to give an extension to that made the All-NBA team. And now they come in there asking you for max and super max and blah, 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 because they made the NBA team because guys weren't allowed that played 63 games. Then we'll get the complaining.
All right, Draymond, what's your suggestion? That's what I want to hear. Give me a suggestion. How do we get you guys to want to play? Maybe want to play a little more than 60 games. How about that? By the way, when you talk about bums, do you want Rudy Gobert on first team All-NBA? Because Rudy Gobert is not one of the top 15 players in the game, but he'd make all NBA because he's a center. Positionless basketball. I came up with that idea for the commissioner. And yes, I suggested 65 games to the commissioner. But Draymond, come up with it. Give me something else. How do we, as fans, look forward to a game where we go, we know those guys are going to play? That's what the commissioner's trying to do. But you guys have to have load management. I'm waiting for Draymond to come up with a better suggestion here so we can actually get our money's worth when we buy tickets to see you. That's not asking too much, is it, Draymond? Yeah, Paul.
And there's no way to solve this because the players' contracts never take a hit off this. They don't lose any money because of this. And you know, the fans suffer because they don't get to see the people, especially when you go there. The teams, the networks suffer more than anything because they're going to lose ad. The ratings for the NBA are not going well the past couple of years. It's just a fact. And because of mostly load management. And there's nothing you can do in the short term.
Yes, John.
I know he likes to be emphatic and wild, but if you're good enough to make an NBA team, it's got to be a less harsh word than bum. Even the worst guy on any NBA team is not a bum. Could have said, like, you know, an inferior player. There's so many other things you could have used than bum that he doubled down and said, like, two or three times he used that word.
Yes, Marv.
Maybe there's just bums on the NBA level, but they're the best player you've probably ever seen at the YMCA. There's guys that, you know, they're just okay. I think that's what Draymond was talking about.
Draymond's a bum now.
Dang.
Bum?
Yeah.
He put the emphasis on B.
By you know, comparison, if I'm looking at his number, well, he's not going to make first, second, or third team. I understand what he's saying. I get it. Come up with it. Tell me another solution. That's what I'd like to hear. Yes, Eden.
It's funny because you could kind of be like, Draymond, this doesn't actually concern you.
Yes. Yeah, you're not going to be first, second, or third team all NBA.
And you know what? He's a guy who plays... He's only played under 65 games in his career like three times. So he's a dude who plays every night.
Yeah. Has he made first, second, third team all NBA in his career?
Yeah, I think he's made second team before.
Oh.
He's made third team.
Okay.
Maybe once or twice.
Maybe snuck in there. Yeah, Paul.
Remember our idea years ago that some ticket place, like SeatGeek or Ticketmaster, they do ticket protection. So you buy a Lakers ticket or you buy a Clippers ticket, and if Kawhi sits, you buy insurance, star insurance, and you get 20% back on your ticket. But if they play, you pay 10% more. So we discussed that. We put that out there as an idea years ago. But if some type of new ticket site, did NBA-specific ticket site, embrace this, they could make money off it.
This program brought to you by the great folks at Mercedes-Benz, the Mercedes-Benz SUV family. Take a test drive. Takes no time at all to set it up. Mercedes-Benz. Learn more at mbusa.com. All right. So we got our poll question?
Yep.
Okay. We're going to go Mavericks right now?
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll get to phone calls. 877-3DP-SHOW. Tyler standing by to set you up for that. Mad Dog Russo will join us coming up top of next hour. And the former Laker great, now Hall of Famer, Pau Gasol, will join us in the final hour of the program.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show 1 hour from now, Tailgate Moonshine. The latest batch, Azalea, just happens to coincide with the start of the Masters today. By the way, it's underway. Tiger getting set to tee off a little bit later on this hour. I'm looking at the odds according to DraftKings. Tiger to win, 9,000. Top 10 is plus 650. To make the cut, minus 165. I checked in yesterday and felt like there was a lot of money on Phil and Tiger to miss the cut. I understand with Phil, but with Tiger, I think we always hold out hope that he will make the cut. And we're not seeing the same Phil Mickelson. And it's odd to see this because normally he's got a lot of confidence. He's got a lot of things to say. And, you know, maybe he's taken the higher road by going to Augusta and making sure that this was about the Masters, not about Phil. He's extremely popular with the fans, but now that he's gone to the other side with the LIV Tour, and then you hear the story at the Champions Dinner. Phil sat there, and there are numerous golfers, former champs, who said Phil didn't say a word the whole night, which is really odd because Phil always has something to say. He has something to say about things that he shouldn't have something to say about. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. And I would jump all over these LIV golfers to win the Masters. The odds are great. Dustin Johnson, plus 2,200. Cam Smith, plus 3,500. Brooks Koepka, plus 4,000. Heck yeah. Patrick Reed's odds to win the Masters, the same as Tiger's. It's not like these guys forgot to play, and they have been playing. Granted, it's only 54 holes with each event, but at that course, it's local knowledge. The more you play, the better you are, and that's why I'm really surprised that these players got long odds. You know, by comparison, Scottie Scheffler plus 650, Rory plus 700, John Rahm plus 850, Jordan Spieth plus 1800, and Tony Finau plus 2000. Seton, what's poll question for hour two? Is Mad Dog Russo set to join us, Todd?
He absolutely is.
Okay, give me the poll question, and then we'll bring in Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
We're going to change it up this hour, Dan. Most awkward situation in sports, the Ravens quarterback situation.
Ooh.
Mavericks, they got a bunch of problems going on there.
Yes.
The Packers-Jets trade, or the Angels and Shohei?
Wow. And the Ravens had a press conference yesterday where the reporters are saying, what are you going to do about if you don't bring back Lamar Jackson, or there's a possibility? And, you know, all of a sudden they're like, well, we're not talking about that. Like, yeah, you are. You need to, I would think. Let's bring in Christopher Mad Dog Russo, host of Mad Dog Unleashed. Awkward situations here. Let me ask you the poll question there. Out of all of those, Shohei with the Angels, the Mavericks situation, the Ravens with Lamar, and what's going on with the Packers and the Jets and Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, good morning, Dan.
Hi, bud.
It's a pleasure to be on. I love the golf stuff you did there, and you're right. Those live players, I would take a run at Koepka. He won last week. He's healthier, plus 400. Was it 4,000, right? What'd you say it was?
Yeah, 4,000.
I mean, my God, that's a steal. I'm with you 1,000% on that. I think the Ravens is with Lamar. First off, Ohtani's going to last 6 months. It's too early to go big deal on that yet. The Packers eventually will make this trade as it is. And, you know, the Kyrie thing is a little awkward. I totally agree. But I think Lamar right now, the draft forthcoming, you know, he doesn't like them. You know, I don't think it's a question of them not liking him, but I don't think he's worth – they don't want to pay him $200 million. Then they got the compensation with the two picks and everything else. I think that's the most awkward one. That's a very good job by your guys with that, the Danettes, with the four of them. I love those four, but I would say Lamar – with the Ravens. I think that's the most awkward thing at the moment.
You think the Angels with Ohtani, that gets worked out long term?
I'm not sure. The one thing I would say there, Dan, is I don't think Marino wants to be the owner who trades Ohtani in July. So even if Ohtani and the team is awful, and, you know, they may not be, who knows, you know, they go off to a decent start, that even if they're, you know, 20 out, on July 15th, I don't think he wants to trade Ohtani. Do you want to be the owner who lets Ohtani walk? If Ohtani stays and he gives him a what you would consider a decent offer to sign a long-term deal and then he leaves, you don't get pounded. If you let him go at the deadline, that's telling everybody you had no plans of signing him anyway and you look bad. So I don't think Marino, who's 80 years old, wants that on his resume. So I think Ohtani will be an Angel no matter how bad they are all year long.
Yeah, I just wonder if you could get the biggest haul in baseball history for Ohtani. And granted, I wouldn't want to be the GM who traded him away, but I'd also like to be the GM who brought a winner to the Angels. And I don't think that you're going to win with Ohtani and Trout. I mean, you got the two favorites, two of the top three favorites for MVP in the American League, and you might not even make the playoffs.
Toa and Rendon, too. The problem with – you're right. The problem with getting a long haul back, there's only a couple of teams you could trade them to that feel they could sign them long-term, Dodgers and Yankees, or maybe the Mets, those three. Forget the Yankees. Mets and Dodgers would be those two. So, you know, if the Indians or the Guardians wanted them, what are you going to get back? Because they know they can't sign them. It's a two-month rental.
Yeah.
If you trade them to the Dodgers, and if you're Marino – do you want to trade Ohtani to the L.A. Dodgers? I mean, he's 30 miles away. And, you know, maybe you trade him to the Mets and maybe you can, you know, fleece their farm system. I guess that's possible. But I still think at the end of the day, Ohtani will play for the Angels all year long, no matter what the record is in July. That's what I would say right now.
I gave a stat earlier that all 12 games on Thursday were played in under 3 hours, which is nice, but are these rules having an impact here?
Oh, I think they are, Dan. I mean, listen, opening day was 317 last year. This year was 240-something, 245. Throw in the idea that there's a lot more stolen bases. A single is a single. I think the rules, you know, listen, I think it's been so much better. Look at the Sunday night game. How many Sunday night games last forever? And at 10-10, I'm sorry, at 9-10, the game was at 7. At 9-10, they're in the top of the ninth inning with the Rangers and the Phillies. So I think it's so much better. I think it's long overdue. I think it's the quick – it's just you can sit there and watch it without, you know, sitting there for 4 hours to watch a ball game, you know, over game 8 of 162. So I think it's a big plus. I do think you've seen it this week, Machado, Tim Anderson, especially with Machado, the umpires are going to enforce it. So I don't think you're going to see a situation where the umpires would get lenient and, you know, not enforce that pitch clock. So I think overall it's been a big plus. I think it's helped baseball. And I've said this a lot, and I don't know how you feel about it, Danny, and I wasn't a big WBC guy, but I do think baseball's got a lot more momentum to start the year than they've had in a long time. They had 4.5 million people watch that last game on FS1, Japan and the United States. They had Ohtani and Trout. I didn't get that wrapped up in it, but a lot of people did. And then you throw in all the rules. So I think baseball did have had a very good start to their season. You know, when, you know, you got the Masters, you got the Final Four. So I think baseball had a good start to their year. I really do.
Yeah, we talked to the commissioner last week, and I said, you know, this might be your legacy. We might look back 20 years from now and say, you know what, Commissioner Manfred did, and he might have saved the game as maybe a little overly hyped, but he modernized the game. He might be remembered for modernizing the game.
100%, Dan. And I think this is a commissioner who needed a legacy moment. You know, I mean, you know, commissioners get killed in all the sports anyway. But for whatever the reason, Silva doesn't get killed because the players love him. You know, Goodell, the NFL is impregnable. So he can deal with it. And nobody cares about the hockey that much. So really, Manfred, he gets pounded all the time. He got pounded last year at the lockout. He gets pounded at times when he, the piece of metal with the World Series, you know, his verbiage can get him in trouble.
Yeah.
And I think unwarranted, and they're not fair about it. But I think in this situation, he comes across very well. And I think this was a good deal. So I think he needs a legacy moment. So good for him if this turns out to be exactly that.
He's Chris Mad Dog Russo, host of Mad Dog Unleashed on Sirius XM Channel 82, host of High Heat on MLB Network. Draymond Green says, oh, great. You want to have a minimum 65 games to be eligible for postseason honors and first, second, third team All-NBA. You're going to have bums who are going to make these teams because they're going to play more than 65 games, and maybe some of these stars won't. I don't know what the solution here is, Chris, but is that asking too much to say you got to play in at least 65 games each season?
Oh, God, no, Dan. I'm with you 1,000%. I mean, geez, that for the money they charge to go to these games, and we can't guarantee, you know, for instance, I had a call a week or so ago who spent $600 to get two tickets to see the Philly at Denver, Embiid didn't play in the game.
Yeah.
Now, I know he had calf soreness, and he's played, you know, 65 games for the year. I'm with you 1,000%. Bird, Jabbar, Wilt, Russell, Jordan. I mean, they must be just, really? You can't play 75 ball games in an NBA season? I mean, to me, it's a joke. And I that's 20% of the season you miss if you don't play 65 games to be eligible to win the MVP. I mean, is that asking too much? I mean, you know, listen, when you and I, we got contracts, we're supposed to work a certain amount of shows. We're here in the big events. You and I are here in the Masters. We're here with this. We're here with that. Yeah. You know, there's a sense of responsibility. You can't play 70 games in an NBA regular season. Is the NBA regular season that worthless that, you know, it means nothing and you can get away with playing 56 games? I mean, that's what they're telling you. Well, then why are they charging me a fortune for the tickets? Why are they making a big deal about the playing thing? Who cares about the playing? It make any difference. You know, don't play, you know, play 40 games. You know, we separate who the good teams are and then play months of NBA playoff basketball. They got a major problem with it. You and I are old school.
Yeah.
But if you can't play 65 games, my God, that's a disgrace if you think you should still win an MVP. And the MVP should mean something. It should mean something, the MVP award. You should want to win an MVP. What the players are telling you by moaning and groaning about 65 games is they don't care about the MVP. That's it. That's it.
How do you keep the Jets Aaron Rodgers story fresh on your show?
You don't. I haven't talked about it this week. Now, you and I are old school hosts, and that's why, you know, people, you know, our fans like it because you and I care about a little baseball. You know, we care about Masters on opening day on a Thursday. You and I care about the NCAA tournament. You know, you and I care about just NFL football. And so as a result of that, you know, you did SportsCenter for 100 years. You care about that stuff. I've been doing this since 89. I care about all the sports. And now today, if it's almost like it's football 24/7. And when I can get around and get away from it for a month or two, and this is the time you can do it, you know, right around the end of the season, before a week or two before the draft, I'm going to do it. So for me to sit there and talk hour upon hour about Lamar Jackson, to sit there and break down the Jets giving up a second or a first-round pick, Rodgers go, not go, oh, enough already. I can't. Let me do something else. So I enjoy this time of the year where we can break and do a little golf. We can do a little NCAA. Maybe we can do a little NHL first round of the playoffs. How good are the Bruins? You know, so from that standpoint, I enjoy this period, and I'm happy. I do enough of the Jackson on the ESPN that one day a week. I haven't done it at all this week on the radio. I haven't done it. Maybe you have. I haven't done that much.
No, because I can't add to it. And that's why I always say, if I can and I can advance it, then I will. I won't check a box and say, I've got to talk about Aaron Rodgers every day. I've got to talk about LeBron every day. I don't want, or Dak Prescott every day. I just don't want to do that. That's not fair to the audience to say, hey, I'm going to troll you because these are the top stories or top people we're supposed to talk about every day.
Well, you and I, again, I don't script a show. I don't think you do either. I mean, you go in there and, you know, you have an idea what you want to talk about, but you go in there and you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, too many people say, oh, I better do football. God, it's football. I better do the draft. I better do a little more. And that's what people want to hear about. I don't look at it that way. I do what interests me. And the day that it's not interesting to the people out there is the day I'm going to leave. Chris, we're not interested in what you think. I don't care about the Sunshine Double and Medvedev and Alcaraz. You know, once they tell me that, I got to leave. And you're the same way, Dan. You're the same way.
Are you all in?
You talk about what you want to talk about.
Are you all in on Rodgers going to the Jets? Is it the right move for
I'm
the Jets?
Yes, I'm all in with that.
Okay.
I think that's good for the Jets. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I think the Jets have to do it. They haven't made the playoffs in millions of years. They've won one Super Bowl. They sort of have a now team. I wouldn't give up the first-round pick. There's no reason to do that. Packers are dead. Packers have to get rid of him. And there's nobody else.
Yeah.
Tennessee, he's not going to go to Tennessee. So the Packers are really – they have nowhere to go. So it's going to be a second-round pick, but I am all in on the Jets. They have to bring him in here. After. And I think Rodgers has plenty left.
Who's closer to winning a championship, the Jets or the Knicks?
The Jets. It's so hard to win there, Dan. You know, the Knicks have had a good year. I mean, they're going to be 50-50 to beat Cleveland. You know, the best players always win. Do the Knicks have the top 10 player on their team? They really don't. Embiid, Tatum, Kawhi, Curry, Jokic, Anthony Davis. The Knicks don't have Brunson, and Brunson's very good. But he's not, you know, I mean, he's not Giannis. And those are the guys that end up winning the championships. So the Knicks got the respectability, made the playoffs like they all do in the NBA. If they ever win a round against Cleveland, we'll have a parade in New York. But the Jets with the quarterback and the fact that, you know, beating Mahomes won't be easy. But I do think the Jets are closer than the Knicks are to winning a title.
I'll leave you with this. If I gave a New York sports fan one wish.
Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question.
Now, my suggestion would be, and I'm not a New York fan, is to get a new owner for the Knicks.
Okay. You're looking at it from a standpoint of not playoff success.
It could be anything. Because I don't think you get playoff success if you have that.
I think you hit it. I think that's a brilliant job. I think that I wouldn't have thought of that. That's it. It's Dolan. Now, that is tempered a little bit lately because the Knicks have had a good year. And they brought Brunson in, and Leon Rose has done a pretty good job, and they like Thibodeau. And for the most part, he stayed out of the way. Now he's gotten wrapped up with this stupid, you know, facial recognition nonsense,
I know.
Which is so petty.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and the Rangers are good, and he owns them too. So you got to look at it from that standpoint. But that's a good one, Dan.
But did Dolan ever get mad at you? Or Mike, you guys criticized, and did he hold it against you guys when you would criticize him?
You know, he was pretty good. You know, he a little bit. You know, but we took his side with Marv Albert, which was a big deal. You know, and they had the issue with Marv, and it was about the money, and they let him go, and they brought Breen in, and everything else. It's always. Now he says, you know, he doesn't listen to me necessarily on Sirius, so I'm not as wrapped up in it. And, you know, what might annoy Dolan compared to, say, the old days 20 years ago when you might say something? You know, we were very pro-Checkets, and so that bothered him because he made the change and Checkets left, and the Knicks had been terrible, and we were pro-Van Gundy, and they had a problem there too. So there was probably a time in the late 90s, early 2000s where he was annoyed at us. But I think for the most part, I haven't had a lot of dealings with him. And remember, he was very good to me and Mike with the show that we did at times at Radio City. You know, we did that reunion thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He donated the building. He gave us the Garden of Dreams monument. And, you know, we did the whole show for the MSG charity, and he was great with that. So we've basically have had a good relationship with him. But I think your point is well taken. I think the average fan would say, you know what, let's get a new Knick owner. I think you're right.
100%. Good to talk to you, Mad Dog. Thanks for joining us.
You're the best, Danny. You know how much I enjoy you. You're the best.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, bud. That's Christopher Mad Dog Russo, Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel on Sirius XM, and he also has High Heat. That's available on MLB Network. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Caleb. Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Caleb in Portland joins us. Hi, Caleb. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, 510, 210. Called in 2 weeks ago to let you know I bench pressed 355. Just letting you know, yesterday I did 365, and to celebrate, I got all three moonshines on order.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you got in. We sold out at the moonshine. About almost 1,500 bottles in 15 minutes, a little less than that. We'll let you know the next batch when we'll have that available for you later on this summer. Steve in New Jersey. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Hey, gents. Steve from Jersey. Long time, second time. 5'10 soft, 170.
Soft.
Touching on Nah dropping out and Mike Weir being solo. Fun fact is the Masters actually have a thing they call the non-competing marker. It's typically a member of Augusta that they pair with the uneven field. And more interesting, the 20-year veteran marker Jeff Knox retired last year. He had famously beaten Rory in 2014. Oh. Anyway, I just wanted to
Mention. Yeah, thank you, Steve. When I played at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, my pro 1 year was Scott McCarron. And Scott McCarron had to withdraw at Pebble Beach because of a bad back. They got somebody out of the clubhouse who played with me the final round. We didn't make the cut. I played there twice. The first time I played with Scott McCarron, and then I also played with Jarmo Sandelin. And I had no idea who Jarmo Sandelin was, but Bill Murray got me into the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And he said, if you want to play, I'll get you in. And I said, all right. He said, I don't know who you're going to be playing with because most of the guys already have people they're going to play with. And I go, okay. And I go to the draw, and I go, and they go, Yarmo Sandalin. Dan Patrick is playing with Yarmo Sandalin. I go, who is Yarmo Sandalin? Well, I didn't meet him until the next day. I'm on the practice team. And, you know, people would walk up and down and say, who are you playing with? Who are you playing with? And I'd say, Yarmo Sandalin. And after about the fifth pro who said, have you seen his caddy? Have you seen his caddy? Every time I mentioned I was playing with Yarmo Sandalin, it'd be like, oh, have you seen his caddy? And I go, I don't know who his caddy is or what he looks like. We get to the first tee, or on the putting green, and this woman comes out with the shortest skirt that I think I've ever seen on a golf course, and he had hickeys all over his neck. And I go, I'm guessing that's his caddy. And it was. We didn't last long. I don't think he wanted to be there, and I don't blame him. We lasted two rounds, and at one point, I thought I was playing better than the pro was. If you were watching, you'd go, oh, is Dan Patrick the pro? Because the guy with him, he was missing like three-foot putts. Yeah, Paul.
I got that Yarmo Sandlin married his caddy, and they're husband and wife now.
Well, congratulations. Oh. I didn't get invited. Yeah.
Oh.
We had very, very, very little conversation.
He's very Swedish.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed like a very nice guy. We just had no conversation. We had nothing in common because I didn't have any hickeys on my neck, and I didn't have anything else to talk to him about. Oh boy, segue.
That's a great story, though.
Yes,
I love that.
Yarmo Sandalin, Yarmo, be there. We spoke to Pau Gasol yesterday after the show. Had a chance to talk to him about a variety of things. And I started out by asking him how he found out that he was going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, Jerry Colangelo called me and told me the good news. Obviously, I was named one of the finalists for the class of 2023. And I was told that I was going to get a call at a specific on a specific day and a specific around a specific time, and Jerry said, I have good news to give you. You know, you've been selected to be part of the class, and you're in. So it's pretty special.
Were they going to call you one way or another, whether you got in or not?
Yes, I think so. I think they call you either way. From what I've heard of other Hall of Famers or different people that have been finalists, but didn't get in the first time, didn't get in for or multiple times, you get that call regardless. So it's good. It's great when it's good news.
If I was going to show one highlight in your induction ceremony, give me the highlight that you would want shown.
Wow. Jeez. That is a good one. I think, probably one of the images or after the buzzer goes off after game 7 of 2010 against the Celtics. I think that feeling of winning that game, that series, that championship, it's a special one.
When did it change? Because it used to be European players were soft, labeled soft. Right. Dirk Nowitzki's right. Talked to me about that, you know, when he sure. first got into the league, they made fun of him, but that doesn't come up anymore. Why?
No. I think we were able to kind of erase that stigma by performing at a high level and really and then luckily many other European players or international players have come and played at a high level now arguably 3 or 5 or 4 of the top players in the league are international, 3 of them being European. So again, I think that's no longer part of the conversation, which is great. I mean, I had to deal with it to some degree for some of my career. Dirk, I'm sure, had to deal with it to some degree as well. But yeah, I think we proved that we were competitors. We were tough. We weren't just fundamentally sound and not just players that knew how to play the game and knew how to shoot and dribble and pass, but also competed and were physical as well.
Why did you want to be a doctor?
I wanted to help. Well, first of all, I grew up in my family, my parents, my mom being a doctor, my dad being a nurse. I grew up in a medical family. And I felt like being able to help people be healthier and heal people. I think that was something so powerful and important. I always said, you know, without health, we're nothing, right? We have to, in order to enjoy life, to be here in this world, you have to, you know, you have to be healthy. And doctors, you know, help people be healthy, to stay healthy or get healthier. So I wanted to cure people. I wanted to heal people.
The impact that Magic Johnson, when he announced that he had HIV, what impact did that have on you?
Yeah, that was also a key moment that it reinforced that feeling that I've just shared. Basically, you know, when one of your idols as well announces that he's HIV positive, which at the time to me as an 11-year-old kid, what I understood that was he was announcing a death sentence, and then that implied his retirement from basketball. But luckily, that wasn't the case. But at that time, I was like, man, I wish I could work on finding the solution, the medication to cure AIDS, to cure cancer, so people don't have to die at a young age, so people can live a healthier and longer life.
Did you relay that to Magic when you first met with him?
No, I related that story and on different like media or interviews, but I've never fully related it to him, even though I got to meet him and kind of spend a little time with him. But you know, I always say that dream team, also that 92 dream team, has impacted my life and has allowed me to dream and pursue that dream to playing in the NBA amongst the best. So that's the impact that the professional athletes, elite athletes, have on children. You don't realize, but you become such a strong influence. You really, you know, excite and make this kid's dream around the world of becoming one day in their lives you.
And we don't realize it because the 92 dream team happened only because we didn't win the gold medal in 1988. And we're like, we're going to get that gold medal back. We sent in the heavy artillery and we blew away everybody. But you're part of the byproduct, and you know, yeah. Giannis and the Joker, and I mean, Dirk, all the byproduct of the dream team, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I think for sure it definitely inspired so many kids, especially around my age, or Dirk's age, was only 2 years older than me. Tony Parker's age as well, 2 years younger than me. The younger ones probably didn't perceive that type of impact. Okay. That the 92 team had. Later teams did probably, and the success I feel of international players in the league has influenced, I think, the new wave of great international players. But at the same time, I think that 92 Olympic just showed what the best players in the world could do. The level that they would play, which, you know, it was hard to follow the NBA being overseas, you know, with the time difference, with the TV rights at the time, and the structure and the networks at the time. Right now, it's a lot easier. You can watch anything anytime, you know, it doesn't have to be live, and you can watch it on your phone. So it's a different times. So, yeah, but definitely that team influenced heavily and inspired many.
Before I let you go, your thoughts on this year's Lakers team? How dangerous do you think they can be?
Well, I think they can be, you know, really dangerous because, finally seem to be healthier, which is important. The trade definitely helped chemistry, and I added some really, really good pieces that fit the core of the team better than what it was before. And they're making a run. They feel like, you know, that momentum, that confidence, it's kind of growing. So if they're able, I mean, they have three games left. If they're able to finish up and win these three games, they can finish as high as fifth. And now now you really become dangerous, right? Because you're in a pretty good position. You win, you're pretty much people counting you out, and now you have AD rolling, LeBron healthy, and you have a core of players that are hungry. So I just love what they've been doing, the way they've kind of overcome this whole situation this season.
You got your jersey in the back. What's the coolest thing that you have in your office?
I don't know. I guess, the jersey, some basketballs of milestones in my career.
Do you collect other jerseys? Do you have other?
I don't necessarily, no. I don't. I have a couple, but I don't really collect them.
No kidding.
Yeah. I have, like I said, I have a couple, but I always had a hard time like asking for, jerseys or signatures or stuff. You know, what I did do, actually, one of the things that I did do was to collect, back when I was with the Lakers, Chip Schaefer, who was the athletic trainer. He gave me a gift. I saw he had this basketball in his office, at our practice facility. And I saw him, and he showed it to me. It's like a molten from the 92 Olympics, in Barcelona. I'm like, wow, it's at, 92 Olympics, Barcelona. It was the official ball of the Olympics. And he said, Pau, it was like, here it is. But under one condition, you have to get all the signatures from all the players of the 92 team. I was like, okay, I'll do it. I was so excited. And I would carry that ball on the road with me because we were playing Indiana and Larry Bird was the president. And now we're playing Houston and Clyde Drexler was commentator, the TV commentator. Or, I took that ball with me and my wife gave me a surprise for her wedding, for my wedding gift to finish off the ones that I had left, which was, I think, Christian Laettner, I think Karl Malone, John Stockton, the guys that weren't really around the league. So I finally got, and that is probably my most precious possession. And that's the only thing that I kind of went out of my way because it was so special. And I made a promise to Chip Schaefer, gifting me that ball.
That's great. Where is it?
It's here. I think it's here. Yeah, it's here.
Wait, you're supposed to know where it is, pal.
It's here.
Okay. Okay.
Sometimes I kept it in a safe for a while because I was like, oh, this is my precious possession. I'm like, it's like, I mean, it's so valuable because of the meaning that we're talking about, right? Yeah. We're talking about that team, what it meant and the effect that it had on my life and others and the growth of the game.
Just make sure the kids aren't outside playing with it, okay?
I know. No, it's all the way up high in a top shelf.
Okay.
So they can't reach
good.
It. They can't reach it. We're good. We're safe.
Good to talk to you, and congratulations.
You,
and hopefully it'll be a memorable moment, emotional moment, and well worth it.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Pau Gasol, you talk about right place, right time, taking advantage of the situation. When you get traded from Memphis to the Lakers, then you win a couple of championships. When you win a couple of championships and you win in Los Angeles and you look at everything that he did internationally, he is a Hall of Famer. And that's what happens with basketball. It's not just your NBA career. It's the totality of your basketball career. You factor in what you did in Olympic play, international play. And now I think he bounced around with Chicago, might have ended his career in Portland, maybe didn't even play in Portland, but what he did with Los Angeles, he was with the Spurs, Bulls, but, that's why you're going into the Hall of Fame. Very good Olympic player, international player, and then you win a couple of championships. Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, if you look at Pau Gasol's stats, he always averaged like 19-10 or 19-9. Those are very nice, very consistent numbers. Definitely a good offensive clutch player, but, I think Marvin said to me, that's like a LaMarcus Aldridge averaged like 22-10 a bunch of seasons. But you do it even just a handful of years with the Lakers and your profile goes through the roof when the Lakers are winning.
LaMarcus Aldridge, Hall of Famer? I don't think, did he win any championships?
No, but, I got 7 All-Star appearances, which isn't easy to do.
Yeah.
But in the playoffs, the deepest he went was when he joined the Spurs about 7 years ago.
Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, he averaged 19 points and 8 rebounds for a career.
Yeah, don't think that's enough. But Powell won a couple of championships, and he was very good international play, Olympic play. All right, let me take a break. Last call for phone calls. Once again, those who got bottles of the Tailgate Moonshine, thank you, and we'll let you know when the next batch is ready to go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.